B-Pod Studios.
I got to make sure I wrote down our segment.
Yeah, that would be important.
Yeah, I don't remember what we're talking about.
We're talking about what is holding you over until Cyberpunk.
Yes.
Life is Strange devs dropping 6 new games.
Yep.
And the Xbox Series S.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. I am still not sure who the president of the United States is. We got a long way to go. There will be legal challenges, but it is what it is. We're here to talk about video games.
We promise we're talking about video games.
There will be no election talk. That's the last of it. I'm done. But with that said, we are happy to be here. As always, I am joined by the wonderful cast of Checkpoint Daily. Number one, Callie Sloan. What's going on?
It's Callie Scales.
Callie Scales, I'm sorry.
That's right. I know, it's hard to get used to. I've changed my name like 70 times in my
life.
That's
because you're an asshole and married somebody who also has an S last name.
And unfortunately a better one than I had.
Yes.
Like, it really would have come down to, like, who had the cooler sounding last name, but, like, Callie Scales sounds like a sick-ass stage name.
Well, now you sound like a mermaid instead of sounding like a urinal, so it's great.
I would say that is indeed an improvement.
Yes, but anyway,
Thank you for that compliment.
Chad Callahan is also here.
Okay.
All right. So Chad is here.
My emotional status is very low.
Chad, you haven't looked good for like 2 days. You've looked unhealthy.
I feel unhealthy.
Are you like sick? Do you have COVID?
I don't know. We'll find out.
No, I'd rather know now. Before we get any further in, I'd like to know.
We don't have the rapid testing.
Yeah, I've been living off of just Red Bull and anxiety. So that's
okay. Great.
So, yeah.
Good.
Yep. All right.
Thrilled
well,
to hear that. All right. So Chad's dying.
Yeah, maybe pretty much. Fine. Well, we're all dying slowly. Anyway, with Dark. That said, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All righty. So first and foremost, I wanted to ask everybody, because there's still not a whole lot of gaming news going around today.
No.
What is holding you over until Cyberpunk? Because we're about a month out.
We said that a month ago.
We said that like 7 months ago. And we've said it a couple times, I admit. But we're about a month out, theoretically, from Cyberpunk. We're about the same amount of time before we figure out who wins the election away from finding out when Cyberpunk is coming out. What's holding you over? What's getting you there?
You know, for me personally, the Ghost of Tsushima Legends mode has been great.
Yeah. So tell me. So I watched. In our house, we have the issue of we have three people in one PlayStation 4,
okay.
Right? So when a new game like that comes out, one of us decides, pays for it, and gets to play it first, and the rest of the house experiences it on the couch, basically.
Okay.
Rob got to play Ghost of Tsushima, mm-hmm. and it looks incredibly fun.
It is.
I enjoyed every moment I saw of it, pretty much. Would I be wasted to go back and play it for myself now?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, I would say go back and experience it simply because it is very, the combat of it, it's so hard to explain it in words as to why the combat feels so good,
mm-hmm.
but it does. And that's part of the reason why I keep going back to the game. Obviously, aesthetics. I mean, it's a beautiful, one of the most beautiful games to actually look at. But I think what makes me go back to it over and over again is the sword play in it is some of the best I've ever played. And that's really difficult to do without going full-blown Dynasty Warriors and just mass square.
Right, because at some point, it's just a hack and slash beat 'em up.
Exactly. It's intuitive. It allows you to play defensively, mm-hmm. if you like. It allows you to completely overwhelm an opponent, if you like. It allows you to play stealthy. It's really, really refreshing to play combat that's that good. And the Legends mode is the co-op mode. I need some friends to play the raid. I think I could beat the raid if I get two extra people. I don't need the full four. I think I'm high eye level enough to be able to complete it with two people. So I'm going back to that. And Assassin's Creed Valhalla comes out November 10th. So instead of my monthly game budget going towards Cyberpunk this month, it's going towards Valhalla. So I'll play that.
I feel like that'll get you there, right?
It will.
How long is an Assassin's Creed game good for you for?
Odyssey, I ain't done with.
Yeah,
well,
Odyssey was huge.
Yeah.
If it's anything like that, you'll be busy the entire month.
Yeah, so that's what's holding me over. Chad, what about you? What are you going to be playing besides Dead by Daylight?
Right. I've been dabbling with the idea of playing World of Warcraft again.
Ooh.
Just because, you know, the new expansion's like right around the corner. And
play a little catch up.
Yeah, play a little catch up. I haven't played in well over a year, and I like to at least get the new expansion, play for a couple months, and then I'll probably drop off again. But I just want to see what the new stuff. They had so much new stuff with the newest patch update. So I'm like, I'm kind of foaming at the mouth just to play it. I don't know if it's enough for me to like hold on to more than just a month. But an
MMO, I mean, it's not like 14, right, where you can literally grind everything for 3 days and be done. I think with certain MMO, and that's if you're leveled up. That's if you're already at cap. You already are nearly cap for eye level. But I feel like if you haven't played in a year, you got a month's worth of catch up.
I think there's so many new things, and I'll probably be stuck making a million new characters like I normally do. So I have plenty to work with, but we'll see. We'll see if I actually commit. I'm not 100% convinced.
You know what? And Doomified in our chat is saying he's playing Vampyr and moving to Shadow of War and Blessed Unleashed. I tried Blessed Unleashed, and I hate it. It's ugly. I don't like looking at it. But Shadow of War is a game I suggest everybody play.
Yeah.
The Nemesis system. That Shadow of War is the Lord of the Rings sandbox Assassin's Creed-esque game where you essentially take over different parts of Mordor. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I re-downloaded Shadow of War because I want to play it again. And it is a game that I forgot how much fun I had playing.
Interesting.
It's a really fun game. Just to play Pokemon. Turn it into Pokemon. Just see an orc and just go like, I'm going to put him on my team. Or I'm going to, you know, kill him in a really stupid way. So when he comes back, he has some sort of weird thing happening with him. Like, it's such a weird game, but it's satisfying to play.
Yeah, it's satisfying. And at the end of the day, you do start liking your orcs.
You do. You do start getting attached to your orcs. And so I definitely suggest Doomified is absolutely correct. It is absolutely free on PlayStation Plus right now. So if you are a PlayStation player, you can catch that for free $99. Callie, what are you playing?
I'm existing on Existential Dread right now. But
That's about right.
Yeah, I got about a month ago, and I don't know if my dread's going to last for that long. In addition to playing FF14 and a lot of Phasmophobia lately, I do want to pick up Watch Dogs Legion because it seems like it's kind of living up to the hype that it was, you know, touting. And now I want to play it. And of course, I'm hearing Robbie talk about it all the time. So I'm just like, damn it. I guess I'll have to play it. I think that's the one. I did finally start on The Witcher 3. I do need to crank through that, but that's going to take forever.
You're never beating that game.
I know. It's going to take forever. I'm like, I don't know, 15 hours into it, and it's really good, but it's so daunting because I know how much more there is to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think for me, Watch Dogs Legion is probably the big one that I want to pick up and
I'll say this. You have The Witcher 3, right? What to you is beat the game? Because it's one of those games where it's like beating the game has a different meaning to everybody.
Right. For me, beating the game does mean completing the story main with quest. Games like that. Maybe I'm just too old. I don't have time for 100% completion anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that foolishness.
There's too many games now.
Yeah, there's too much to play. So, yeah, for me, it's beating the story.
Yeah. Well, you know what? With that said, I may splurge and get Watch Dogs Legion as well, simply because I love NPC Pokemon, man. I love that. It's the same thing with Shadow of War. I love the concept of recruiting NPCs and making them part of my squad. I absolutely love it, and I think I'll probably run through Hades in one more game. I might do a Hades hard mode run.
I love NPC Pokemon as opposed to PC Pokemon, but yeah. I'm into this idea. That's a new genre of game, NPC Pokemon games.
Well, that's what it is.
I agree.
So, you know, that's what everybody's taking care of, and what they're playing to tide them over to Cyberpunk, because let's just be honest, Cyberpunk drops, that's what everybody's going to be playing. They might as well just turn the Twitch layout yellow.
Yeah,
when
might
that
as well.
Drops,
at least,
to be perfectly
at least
honest.
For December.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, up next, we got the Life is Strange developer Don't Nod Entertainment on the heels of Life is Strange 2 and Tell Me Why. They have announced they have 6 games in production right now.
Are they
Don't Nod is not a huge studio
yeah, so,
that I
okay.
know of.
So are those six games just the six episodes of the next Life is Strange?
So that would be utter bullshit. I would be so furious with them if they tried to pull that crap. No, I do think it is six unique titles.
Gosh.
I would assume that that's what that means. I just can't imagine
what they are.
I mean, so
okay,
listen,
of those,
we're going to start ticking letters off the LGBTQIA thing. Like here, we've got T and we've got L or B, I would say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need to have a lesbian game, a gay game. We need an asexual game. Like we're starting.
Is that what it has to be?
We need like, a questioning game.
Clearly, I think. I mean, Life is Strange did knock off like four of those.
But the point is, Callie, as the biggest Life is Strange fan, in the room here, right? How many of those games do you think are all those sort of, you know, 3D point and click? Essentially, they're point and clicks.
Yeah, they are modern point and clicks.
Yeah, essentially, how many of them do you think are those point and clicks? How many of them do you think is Don't Not actually looking to innovate and do a different style of game?
I think it's probably 4-2.
Okay.
I think four of them are probably what they know, and two of them are real experimental different things that they're trying to see if they can branch into, or if they're just going to be pigeonholed into making the modern-day point-and-click game for eternity.
Right.
I think they definitely want to find out if they can break out of that box, but I also don't think they want to go too far away from what has made them famous and what they have done, to their credit, incredibly well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I personally have not played the Life is Strange games. They're kind of, I don't even want to say on my backlog, they're just part of those games. You ever had those games where it's like, I really want to play it, but then you just never buy it? You see it in
do
a
I
store.
Need to buy you? Life
yeah, just like you see it in a store, and then like, you
ooh,
just.
Oh, it's on sale.
It's on sale.
Will I play it? That's what I do. All right. Do a lot. I'm like, I really want to play that, but I know I'm never. It's just going to sit in my like Steam library.
I know what Norris is getting for Christmas this year.
Well, here's the thing. I know that they know what they do, what they do well. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I kind of hope it's something completely different.
I
kind of hope it's like Diablo to Overwatch. That Blizzard kind of did like a complete like 180 from what they normally do.
Could be.
Well, at least one of them. I mean, they have six options.
With six, one has to be something completely out of the box. It has to be.
I mean, you they have all the success, so they're probably more willing to take some chances now on some other kind of games. They still have those like ideas, and maybe it's not like an LGBT kind of thing. Maybe it's more of a racial thing.
Yeah, maybe it's a BLM game.
Yeah, you never know. It could be.
Could be.
They could take different stances and like really make those into games, and then really kind of divide that like idea of like no politics in our games thing. Like no, this is a game about like matters and situations and life.
They have never shied away from having a political stance to their games.
No, I'm gonna tell you, number one of them's a mobile game. I'm putting that out there. Right
I would
now.
Guess yes. Absolutely.
One of them is a mobile game.
Whether it's a mobile port of an existing title or a fresh mobile game is debatable.
I think probably from ground up.
Could Life is Strange be a mobile game?
Yeah
absolutely.
Like a point and click, so it wouldn't be.
Absolutely, it could
difficult.
Be a mobile game.
Yeah, you could port that easily.
Yeah.
I don't want to say easily. That's not fair, but.
Yeah, but could you do it? Yes.
All right, last but not least, we got to hit on this Xbox Series S. This is a rumor. This is based on people who have supposedly gotten hands-on with it and opened it up. Because
these consoles are in the wild now.
They are starting to get into the wild here. Xbox Series S has under 400 gigabytes of storage. 364, I think, was the number
something
I saw
there,
reported.
It's been weird because I've been seeing that backwards, too. So I guess it really
okay, so it's either 346 or 364, depending on your dyslexia.
I was about to say, depending on Chad's reading issues.
I don't know if it's my reading issues. It might be whoever reported the story.
But the
other
point
article.
But the point to me is that the Series S is not a real console. That's not a real option. Listen, Chad, I know you were a big proponent of the Series S from an economical standpoint.
Right.
And I agree with you, right? But this is not the full experience. This is a scuffed console, right? Because you see the PS5 coming in with almost double that, right? At rumored around 670 gigabytes worth of storage out of the box. The Series X dwarfs even that. Because allegedly that has 800 gigs, almost a terabyte.
Right.
We'll just round up and say a terabyte.
Because
the OS probably takes up the you know
20%.
Most of the 20%. So you got a terabyte shipping with the Series X. So you have a console, and I looked this up, that if that is the real number, you would be able to fit Modern Warfare, Hitman 2, and Rainbow Six Siege on it, and that's it.
Really?
Well, here's the thing. If you're a Modern Warfare or a Call of Duty player, yeah, that's going to really hit your system, especially for Xbox Series
X. I mean, but
what,
and as many people bought that game,
yeah,
how many people won't have it?
That's fair. Like, I think this will be the deciding factor on whether people buy the Series S
mm-hmm.
versus the X. I don't think this is going to switch anybody off to PlayStation, but this is definitely going to be a difference
exactly.
between the S and the
X.
Well,
and the thing to me is that we are, again, in the industry. We are in the know. We know a lot of gamers that are also heavy power users. The average individual is not going out getting external hard drives, $200 external hard drives, for their console.
Well, to me, this just becomes the Series S is now the console if you're doing Game Pass xCloud.
That's it.
If you're the Game Pass xCloud crowd,
go ahead.
Series
S. This is essentially that stream.
The stream stick.
The stream stick. But it's just a big version of that. This is their step.
It's a $350 stream stick.
This is their like massive size stream stick, essentially, at this point. Like,
yeah.
And to be fair, we'll also point out that the PlayStation 5, the rumors going around, I think, are 667
gigabytes.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, around 700.
Which also isn't enough. Really not.
Honestly, the fact that the terabyte is as high as it goes on any of these systems is kind of... a slap in the face.
It's kind of BS.
It's a slap in the face to all gamers. I mean, the fact that, okay, PlayStation gives us the ability to, like, put external hard drives in. Any of them, I believe? I can't
Virtually.
Remember. Virtually any of them. Okay, cool. You have the option with the Xbox to have the specific kind.
Yeah.
But still, just having the base one with a terabyte, just one single terabyte anymore with games, is not...
A terabyte isn't enough. And as we talk about... moving forward into the next generation of video games, and this is for all of them.
Yeah.
Moving forward in the next gen of video games, you're talking about the PlayStation 5 using 3D audio. Like, people don't understand. Lossless audio takes up a lot of space in the PlayStation 3 era. That is why you had to load every chapter of Metal Gear Solid 4 individually.
Yeah.
You had to get to it and it stopped and you had to load it. Because Hideo Kojima didn't want to compromise on the audio quality for that game, which is fine. I get it from an artistic point of view. But
it was annoying to play.
But it was annoying, and we're talking about a time in which you're talking about texture packs and HDR lighting.
And constant updates.
Yeah, constant updates. And all of this stuff that just takes up space. It just going to take up so much space on these consoles. You're right, Chad. A terabyte is insulting to every gamer out there.
What happens, because every year we see Call of Duty go up essentially another 100 gigs. What happens when it hits that 300 gig mark? That might happen the next Call of Duty. We don't know.
Listen, we're going to see Black Ops, unless they figure out how to compress texture packs or something.
Yeah.
Black Ops is going to hit 500 gigs.
I wouldn't.
Mark my
wouldn't
words.
Shock me.
Mark my words. And if Black Ops hits 500 gigs, I'm telling you right now, I will not buy it. I'm going out there. I won't buy it. I won't buy it. Because here's why I won't buy it. Because if you're not meeting me halfway, right, you're telling me that you're going to give me a game that is going to take up half of my hard drive for a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
It's different if you said I'll take up half of your hard drive for a MMO where everything looks like it's Final Fantasy 16. Oh, and by the way, it's completely loaded in the moment you start the game. There's no zones. The whole thing is one big zone. The draw distance is infinite. If you give me all these things and say, that'll be 450 gigs, I'm like, all right, bet, I'm in.
Yeah, but would you still be... That's 450 gigs, and that's all that's on your system. You'd be okay with that?
If you've given me something that gives me a realistic depiction of something that is that size, Flight Simulator is something that I am not mad that it is as big as what it is because you've mapped all of Earth.
Because you mapped the planet.
Well, all right, yeah. So I'm not pissed off that that's a 250, almost 300 gig game. It's Earth. on a disc. Man, okay,
we're going back to cartridges. These games are going to be sold with their own solid states.
They better be.
They're going to be.
They have to be. And so, you know, unless you're telling me that you can figure out a way to make these games smaller, all you're doing is justifying the continued cottage industry of external hard drives.
There's no excuses anymore. Like, everyone in the chat saying the minimum of 2 terabytes should be the standard. I think the problem came from they were trying to bring the prices down so they could compete with one another, and that's where they could slash.
The compromise was in the hard drive.
Both of them had to do it. I mean, I guess I'm not mad at the price, but I'm mad in general because, like, yeah, sure, I'm $500. All right, cool, I get the game. Now I have to pay, what, another $100 to $200? And maybe
it comes out of
more.
Your pocket regardless.
Yeah, regardless, I would have paid for it. So yeah. It's just they're just getting it in different waves.
Now, I will say this. If they had said that the PlayStation 5 is $80 more, but you get 2 terabytes out of the box, do you think that makes a difference to people?
I think it would. I think not in like an announcement kind of way.
Right.
Like, it's not going to switch people from PlayStation to Xbox. I do think it would convince someone who is maybe on the edge of whether or not they want a console at all.
Good point.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
And in our chat, we have Doomified, who has said, Flight Simulator smaller than Call of Duty, seems like it. Pulling up the numbers here, as it stands, Call of Duty Modern Warfare is at 231 gigs.
Jesus.
Microsoft Flight Simulator, 127.
So you could fit Earth on 2 Call of Duty servers, essentially. Call of Duty,
lower textures, but...
Lower textures, but all of Earth on a 1-to-1 scale is 130 gigs.
That also tracks other actual flights.
That's right. That by
actual
the way,
flights in real time.
That has in real time flight data that you could put into the game.
I'm not sure how much work that is, but it seems like a lot.
There's a lot of maths happening.
Damon Koenig says AAA gaming is in bed with big hard drive. I agree with that.
I mean, dude, you can't tell me
Seagate
that Seagate
and Sony. Yes,
Sony would be smart to kind of do that because, well, they are a giant tech company, and guess what? So is Microsoft.
I guess it makes sense. But anyway, that's going to be that for our news update today. Next, we are going to have an interview with Annie. She is a part of the women's only Cloud9 Valorant team. This is the first time this is happening, y'all.
Yep, Annie with Cloud9 White's joining us. I'm super excited to talk to her.
Yeah, it's a great conversation, so make sure you all stick around for that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey everybody, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint XP on campus. And if you're wondering, esports in college, that's a thing? Yes, it is. So if you're curious about can your kid or maybe you get an esports scholarship to a university, yes, it's possible. Find out how on Checkpoint XP on campus. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily. Joining us now from Cloud9 White, we've got Annie Drow. Annie, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How's it going?
You know, it's another day. We're all surviving a little bit at a time. So I want to start and ask you about Cloud9 White, obviously making big headlines here this fall. How did the process of Cloud9 White coming together happen? What was that process like for you?
Well, to start, I guess the process goes back like a very long time ago. Me and a few of my friends really wanted to get into competitive Valorant. And so we just decided to make a team in like closed beta and just compete in various tournaments. And we really liked playing the game together. So it was really awesome. And it was like kind of like the first time that an all girls roster was actually like doing well against all guys teams. And we decided to like stick with it and really just work on it. And we started to get scrim opportunities and whatnot. And I think we were all kind of like training for something big, which ended up being the all girls Ignition series, and winning that kind of like brought a bunch of orgs into like our DMs essentially. And one of them being Cloud9, and we ended up choosing Cloud9.
That's so interesting, because you said that you guys came together as a team and then got offers, which is different to think about how we see esports today. Usually it's like, okay, they have a team and then they get rando, you know, people, and they put them together and they meet for the first time and then they scrim and then they practice. But you guys, you gals all had it really differently, actually. You had it almost backwards from what we see in traditional esports, where it's like you guys create this team on your own and then you got picked up, which I think that's even better. Like, because you know what you're going to get out of you because you've played already, instead of it just being some strange, you know, a bunch of strangers in a room together or whatever.
100%. Yeah, that's definitely like the way to go. And I think most of the top tier teams, you will find that they are not like random. They're not five random good people. They're like already a team from before. Mainly like TSM and Cloud9 Blue have been teams before they got picked up, essentially.
So you mentioned that you got offers from a lot of different teams, and I'm not going to make you go on record and say which teams those were, but I do want to focus on the fact that you ended up picking Cloud9, obviously one of the more famous endemic brands in North America. What about Cloud9 was it that sold you on playing for them?
I think it was definitely the culture is something we all vibe with. Definitely their mission and their resources that they're willing to dedicate for us to like succeed is really, really awesome too. Like, this isn't like a, oh, we're just hiring you for like 2 months to see how it goes. Like, they want us to be like a top tier competing team within like a year. And I think that's super, super doable for us as well.
Well, and I think it's super important too, right? Because too often we have seen, I'm thinking back to like League of Legends, we've seen all female squads picked up, and at the end of the day, it looks like it's more of a publicity stunt than it is an actual attempt to compete. And that it is not doing anyone any favors. This, to me, feels like, no, this is the team that we feel like we can be competitive with, and we're going to go with it. Is that kind of the sense that you've taken from this?
For sure. We've definitely had to been... We had to be like very educated and very aware of like those sort of like past instances of all female teams, mainly for like, you know, talking points for us, because we're just going to be, we're pretty much like asked that question every single time. Like, what about like this League of Legends team,
right?
Like Team Siren? What about like Team Vivictus, who were like, I think they were like a CSGO team in Russia.
Yeah, they were League of Legends female. In Russia.
League of Legends too. Okay, yeah. And so like... We all like researched it, and it really just boils down to like they were publicity stunts, and none of the girls who competed really had competitive experience like we do, where they never scrimmed.
Right.
They never like played at the top level. But when most of our team is like Radiant players, like top 100 players in North America, and we like scrim tier two teams regularly, I think there's like a huge difference in just how you watch us play and everything. Like, you can actually see that we deserve a spot.
Well, and that is the difference. Like, what I think really boiled my blood about past instances of things like this happening is it ignores the fact that there are really, really good competitive female players. Like, it's not like, oh, we just picked the five best they were and they're still terrible. No, you ignored the best players that there were available, instead trying to put together a publicity stunt. This is picking the best players and making a competitive team, and that's what it should be.
I agree, absolutely.
And you came from Overwatch, actually, and you were, if I remember correctly, it's been a hot minute since we talked, and I may have been drinking at the party that we were at together, but if I remember correctly, you were like a top-tier tank in Overwatch. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was top 500 on like every single role, but the highest I ever got was like top 20 on main tank.
And so, out of curiosity, what made you do the switch from like Overwatch to Valorant? Was it the scene in general, or you just wanted to try something new, or what was it?
I think Overwatch right now has a lot of issues, and I think it's a bit sad to see, but like half of Overwatch League was just like pretty much cut.
Oh yeah.
And I like, for me, the scene was kind of a mess in my eyes. Like I really wanted to compete competitively in a game. That was like that's always been like a goal for me, and unfortunately there were so many barriers for like competing in Overwatch, where you had to go through tier 3 for a year, you had to go through tier 2 for a year, and even after a year of tier 2, like there's the chances that you actually get picked up are pretty slow, like slim. And I wasn't really willing to like put in 2 years of my life into like a very, very scuffed system of like competitive play, especially because like I know in my heart that like I'm like willing to learn to like work really, really hard for what I want, and I wasn't like really satisfied with like, I guess, like working super hard for 2 years of my life for like a 10% chance to be in the league, because I just thought that was like I thought that was like, I don't know, bullshit, if I'm allowed to say that. Like
you're we'll free to it. Say that.
Right. You're fine.
But moving over to Valorant, I like immediately like fell in love with the game. Like I had played a little bit of CS:GO before, but it wasn't really like my vibe. I thought it was like a little like masculine.
Same.
Almost. And but Valorant was just kind of like really, really vibed with me. I started playing it a ton. It was a game that I had that like revival of love for, where I could play 12 hours a day and be like, and still wake up the next day like excited to play it. And so I immediately knew like in my heart that I wanted to compete in this game eventually. So I just started grinding ranked and got like Radiant and whatnot.
That's amazing. And I agree. Like it's so nice, especially I'm a 30 some years old now. And when I can find a game that I can still be passionate about and want to play all day and then still want to play it again the next day, like that's such a special and nowadays rare occurrence for me, but I totally remember what that was like to experience. I want to ask about the Ignition Series event that you competed in. Was of course an all-female tournament that you guys won. It was amazing. And I wanted to ask, because I know it's kind of a hot button issue in the community, is in your opinion, are you looking forward to the day that you can play just that, you know, tournaments are co-ed and that's just an accepted thing and I don't have to have that be a news story in one of my shows? Or do you think that there is a space to continue running all female tournaments and you prefer it like that way? Do you have a preference?
I don't really have a preference. The way I try to phrase it is like, I think all female tournaments are totally acceptable and totally okay, because it basically like allows people to scout talent. And if the ultimate goal is for like co-ed spaces, then like we need to be able to have spaces that support women too, so that we can scout. Because otherwise those women are going to get pushed out of gaming spaces. They're not going to like have the best opportunities as like most of the other guys do. And a lot of the times girls don't really want to be like the only girl on a team. I mean, like a lot of them are okay with it, but I know there's a lot of girls that like would feel weird being the only girl on a team because they feel like they wouldn't be like respected or mm-hmm. listened to. And so it's really important that like there are spaces for like all girl teams and everything like that.
Excellent. Well, I in the spirit of the times and ongoing nightmare that we all wake up to every day, I was hoping to make this a little bit more lighthearted towards the end. So I just wanted to ask you a couple questions. You are, of course, a fellow Michigander. So I wanted to ask just very casually, what's your favorite Michigan pastime? And why is it going to the cider mill?
I wish I could go to the cider mill with somebody. Hit me up in my DMs. Just kidding. The cider mill's good. I honestly just like taking my puppies out and like throwing the frisbee for them or something like that.
It is one of those nice, simple pleasures in Michigan.
Lots of trees in Michigan, lots of wildlife, and that's going to be definitely something I miss when I eventually move to California pretty soon.
You're going to be relocating to play with C9 White?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
I think I'm the only person, but I think I will be relocating to Cali to be with the squad.
Well, we wish you, of course, the best of luck with that move and everything, and hopefully everything goes smoothly with that. I do want to ask, you mentioned before in our pre-talk that you were playing some Genshin Impact. Now, I have to say, I was one of those people, I grew up a huge Animu fan, and then I got to my way too cool for anime phase, and then I got to my, who cares anymore, yeah. Whatever, I'm back into anime phase. So I'm there right now, I'm just re-immersing myself in the anime lifestyle. You've got to tell me, why do I need to play Genshin Impact? I see this game all over my Twitter timeline. I got to know, what's the appeal? What is it that makes me need to play it?
It's got pretty girls. It's got himbos. It's definitely got like the anime style art. It's similar to like how Breath of the Wild plays, where it's like an open world and you just kind of like fight monsters and... I don't know. It's a really fun game if you just play a little bit every day. And it's definitely not one of those games where you can play like 12 hours a day and otherwise you will just run out of content. But it's definitely a really, really fun game to just play like a couple hours a day, I think.
Am I a giant weeb if I play it?
I mean, who cares? But,
yeah. That's the right answer. No, that's the exact correct answer. Who cares? I'm into it. Okay, I'm going to try Genshin Impact. Chad, you can hold me to it.
Fine. You know, you better stream it. I'm going to watch it, and then I'm going to ask you to do random things, because it seems like you could do a lot of fun things in that game.
All right. I'm gonna give Genshin Impact a try. I'm sold. I got to ask, right now, obviously, Mandalorian going on. Are you a Star Wars fan at all?
I guess I've seen the movies, but I actually haven't seen The Mandalorian yet.
If you're going to watch it, it's all about Baby Yoda. I'm just saying that right now. I don't care about the rest of the cast. It's all about Baby Yoda, and that's why I keep watching.
And to be fair, it's the only thing in the Star Wars space that's really worth watching right now. So, yeah, I get you. All right, Annie Droh of Cloud9 White has been our guest here today. Annie, tell people where they can find you and where they can check out what you're doing.
You can find me at Twitter under Annie_Droh, and then you can also find me at twitch.tv/Annie. I'm a pretty regular streamer, so I should be live like 5 times a week.
All right. So, Annie, you've been our guest here today. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, what's up? It's James Campbell. Every week on Checkpoint XP On Demand, I'm joined by my co-hosts Weird Beard and Robbie Landis as we bring you a layman's perspective on all things esports and gaming. So whether it's the latest in Overwatch, Ninja doing something crazy, or a Mario Battle Royale, we'll cover it. You can get it on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.